And I would like you to get your notepad and pencil or whatever media you got and dry it. Take some notes. It will be helpful that you get what we are talking about. Okay. About 3 weeks ago, I was talking about exercising spiritual authority. And obviously, there were other events like baptism, and obviously I was away last week. And all these times, you've had some fantastic time. I listened to it. I mean, as soon as I finished what I was doing in Corinth last week, I just went, okay, what's happening in South Street? What's happening in South Street? And I went to check it out. I'm thinking, that is awesome. Hallelujah. Wasn't it awesome?
Yes.
Exactly. Only two of you. What is awesome?
Yes.
Thank you. Declan says it was awesome, so that's good. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, exercising spiritual authority. God has given every Christian the ability, the delegated legal right, permission, mandate to do what Jesus Christ has commissioned us to do. Shall I repeat that? God has given every believer, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the delegated legal right, permission, and mandate to do what Jesus has commissioned us to do. Jesus has commissioned us to take spiritual authority. And without spiritual authority, the Christian is powerless. You cannot influence or change anything in your life if you don't have spiritual authority. Are you getting that? I just want you to understand that if I'm saying that every believer has been given spiritual authority, which is a delegated legal right for permission, for mandate to do what Jesus Christ has commissioned you to do, then remember, without it, you are paralyzed. I've been speaking about three levels of spiritual authority that God gives to us through Jesus Christ, that if God has delegated spiritual authority to us, the first type will come when we obey the word of God. If you obey the word of God and you live by it, you become powerful. Also, God has placed authorities over us, whether in your workplace or in your church or your pastor or your leaders. If you do not obey them, you lack that spiritual authority. I'm saying this because when you look at Luke chapter 7, verse 1 to 10, there was this centurion who was under earthly authority of Rome. And he said, because of the delegated power given to me, I'm able to tell this man to go, and he goes, this woman to come, and they come, my servant to do this, and they do that. And when he saw Jesus Christ, he said, no, I recognize a much bigger authority over you, because I see that you also subject yourself under authority. And that authority you have subject yourself under is a spiritual authority. And therefore, I am not worthy for you to even come to my home, but you also command, you also speak, and I will come under your spiritual authority, and my daughter, my child, my servant will be whole. And Jesus said, I've never seen such faith like this. As a result, he said, go, and your child will be whole. And instantly, the child was whole, or the servant was. So I want to encourage you to understand that when you submit to the authority that God has placed over you, you begin to exercise spiritual authority, but it must first start from obeying God's word. If you obey God, you will exercise spiritual authority because he has given you that legal right to do so. We also say that because Jesus Christ resurrected from the earth, from the dead, he was able to overcome all principalities and powers. When you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 onwards, you see that he descended first into hell, that means the lower part of the earth, and he took authority from all the powers of darkness, and then he ascended to the heavens, triumphing over the spirit of wickedness in the heavenly places, and therefore he's seated at the right hand of God. You go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and tells that now you, believer, you are seated with him. You are seated with Christ. And therefore, every authority that he's got to make the enemy his footstool, That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, verse 22. Every authority that he's got to make the enemy his footstool, he has given it to you. And therefore, when you begin to see yourself seated in the heavenly place with Jesus Christ, then you have authority not only on this earth, but in the heavenlies and under the earth. That means you have authority over persons without bodies. Spiritual host of wickedness in high places. These tend to mess people up because you don't see them. But God says you have authority over them. Now, the final one that we are talking about is the authority that is won. This authority is acquired through warfare experience. And Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says that, "For we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus." Isn't that true? If you project it for them, they will see it. Romans 8, 37. But let me pick it up from verse 33 and read it through for you, what it says here. "For who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Or who shall bring charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is that who condemns? Jesus Christ, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long and are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. You see, many believers are unable to enjoy this authority because they have only read about spiritual warfare. They only talk about spiritual warfare. They have knowledge about spiritual warfare, but have not experienced warfare. They know it there. They talk it. They have knowledge. They've read, but they have not experienced it. If you haven't won anything in battle, you won't be able to exercise this authority that Jesus Christ has given to every believer. God wants every believer to be trained in warfare. Have you heard the word spiritual warfare before? I'm sure a lot of you have heard about it. But I can assure that not many people know what it is about. So when Paul quoted this Bible verse, Romans 8, 37, "For we are more than conquerors." You see, you only be more than conquerors if you've won battles and battles and battles. You conquer. A conquering army is an army that has actually defeated a foe. And therefore, if God says, we are more than conquerors, that means there's an expectation that we'll be fighting battles and winning battles and defeating the enemy in many ways and thousand ways and every way. In Jesus' name. God is expecting believers not to be weak, coffee sipping, and tea drinking, and Coke sipping, McDonald's eating people all the time. God wants people who are victorious. I'm not saying those things are bad, you know. Some can harm you. But all what I'm saying is that God is not expecting us to be doing all that. Because if you're on the battlefield, you don't even have time for those things. If you're on the battlefield, you are focused. Say focus. You are focused on what? The enemy. Because you have battle at hand. And if you lose your focus, the enemy will defeat you. And you are fighting the enemy because either you are fighting to defend a territory or you are fighting to take a territory. Do you associate with that? If you are fighting, you fight to defend a territory, or you are fighting to take territories. And God wants us to fight to defend, to take territories and occupy. And once you've occupied, to expand. So we are not static, guys. You don't build an empire by just defeating the enemy and sitting down. You make sure that when you defeat the enemy, you occupy. And when you occupy, you expand. So that before the enemy come to the center, they have a long way to fight to get to you again. That's empire building. And that's how God has made us to be. We got to be fighting wars. If we don't fight wars, we will not go anywhere. The authority that is won, this authority is gained through the experience of war. Each time we engage in warfare against a problem or against a crisis or against a demon, we overcome, we gain authority in the spirit. That is spiritual authority. Anytime you face a crisis and you're able to win that battle, you exercise spiritual authority. Anytime you are faced with a problem and you fight and you're able to overcome that problem, you exercise spiritual authority. Anytime that you face a demonic oppression and you are able to take authority to overcome, you gain authority in the spirit. That is spiritual authority. Amen? That is delegated, legal rights, mandate, permission for you to rule over your circumstances. The enemy's opposition against us is our opportunity to gain authority over him. So if you are going through a crisis, if you are going through a problem, if you are going through some issues that is beating you back, I just want to encourage you, that is your opportunity to take authority over him, and that is your victory, and that is your spiritual authority. Amen. If you're not having no problems, you can't win no battles. Are you with me? If not facing stress, you can't have solutions. Because then you are in maintenance mode. You're happy where you are, comfortable. You don't get no promotion if you don't find no stress at work. You see, those who are at the bottom, they get stressed, they don't get promoted because they don't want to move on. But if you move on, you face another level of threat. And as you conquer, you get more promotion. The same thing in the spiritual world. So Romans 8, 35, 37, again, I want to repeat it to you. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Shall we repeat that? We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. One more time. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. But then you know how he started. He said, in all these things. So in every situation that you are faced, God is expecting you to be more than conquerors through Christ who loves you. God loves you enough to want you to be a conqueror. God loves you enough for you to be seated by the right hand of himself and with Jesus Christ. God loves you enough to put everything under your feet. God loves you enough to give you a legal right so that you can speak to situations and say, you must change. You can speak to the situation and say, you're not moving, but I command you in Jesus' name, move. Hallelujah. Amen. You have that authority. And I always, use a policeman as an example. He's an ordinary bloke, probably living next door to you. As soon as he put on his uniform, he raised his hand and said, don't pass, and you stay. What has changed? He's put on the garment of authority. And you, as a Christian, you have to begin to put on the garment of authority. That means you have to get it not only here, but you have to get it in your heart. That you have that garment of authority, take the word of God and begin to speak it out. And it's going to work. We'll come to the reading that Monica read so beautifully. Thank you, Monica. I like your reading sometimes. What can I say? I was going to crack a joke, but it wouldn't be funny, so I'll just move away quickly. You see, a believer that is more than a conqueror is one who has fought and won more than one battle. You see, when we look at verse 33 through to verse 39, I'm not going to read everything, but I want to pick up a few things for you to get it into your system right now. See, Romans 8, 33 to 39 tells us some things, some battles that we must win to be more than a conqueror. Accusations. When you come under accusations, you should be able to win that battle. When you come under injustice, you should be able to win those battles. When you come under abandonment, you should be able to win those battles. When you come under isolation, rejection, and tribulation, you should be able to win those battles. Probably be thinking, where am I picking these things from? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen. He is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or naked, or peril, or sword? None of these. Nakedness or danger, or famine, hardship. So, these are things that we should conquer. Accusations, injustice, abandonment, isolation, rejection, tribulation, meaning suffering, pain, difficulties, trouble, hardship, and misery. They come in your way so that you will conquer them. You see, those who are not more than conquerors, when accusation comes, when trouble comes, when hardship comes, when persecution comes, when they have no money, when they have no money to pay their rent or mortgage, when they are in danger, or when somebody is using other words to cut them, or somebody really making their life miserable, they fall apart. Because they haven't won no battles. But these battles are there for you as a believer to be able to win them. But when you get into the stream of you yourself accusing other people, you're not winning no battles by accusing anybody. When you are moaning and whinging and criticizing everybody, you're not winning any battle. You're actually on the side of the enemy. You can't win no battles that way. When you always say, oh, we don't have money. Oh, we don't have money. You know what? Nobody was born with money, so what are you complaining about? Nobody was. Yes or no? Even the wealthiest person was not born into money. And the other day I was telling people, and this story I always tell, that the guy who's behind Apple design of all the computers and iPad and iMacs and all those things was once a deacon in this church. I prayed for him and I sent him away to California. And that time he lived just on the Blackheath Hill. He had no money. And now he's a millionaire, multi-millionaire. And somebody sent me a cutting the other day that this guy decided to leave the company and the company is begging him to come back. For 30 years he's been working for them. He's the guy behind this. And this is a true story. If it's only me saying it, I may be lying to you. But somebody posted these things twice in 2 weeks. Posted these cartoons to say, Gideon, do you remember this guy? Well, they were there and they knew what was happening. So I just want you to know, nobody was born with money. But then we can make money if we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. If we are more than conquerors. So persecution, I told you, harassment, right? Shall distress or persecution. Persecution means harassment, oppression, maltreatment, torture, intimidation, subjection or being looked down upon, torment, annoyance. When people are annoying you, they are persecuting you, right? When people are irritating you, they are persecuting you. When people are vexing your spirit, they are persecuting you. When people are hounding you, they are persecuting you. When people are bullying you, they are persecuting you. Say, shall any of these things, or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, separate us from the love of God? God's love through Jesus Christ has enabled every believer to become a warrior if we obey him. Amen? Amen. God allows the enemy to challenge us so that we can learn to fight him. Through our victories, we gain authority over these demons, and we are also able to gain valuable experience in warfare. Spiritual warfare is not only to be talked about, you've got to have valuable experience of it. You see, some Christians even don't believe that they are already under the cosh of the enemy. He's going to mess you about so much, and you wouldn't even know what is hitting you. Because I always say, and I'm convinced 100%, that not every medical condition can be detected by instruments. And when Jesus Christ was around and healing people, there were doctors, there were nurses, yet they came to Jesus. Why? Because their condition was not detectable, was not solvable by these wonderful people that God has created, but Jesus Christ was able to heal them. He didn't go to no medical school. He was able to heal them. What was he doing with that? He was exercising spiritual authority. Do you get that? I'm not saying when you are ill, don't go to hospital. I may be telling a lie if I tell that, or might be very, I'm negligent if I tell that when you're ill, go to hospital. If you have faith to pray for yourself, do pray. But I can assure you that when the doctors say we cannot do anything, there is somebody who can do everything. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus uses people, ordinary men and women like you. He said, I've given you authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. Go, therefore. And I like Mark's account. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, he said that those who believe my word and baptize, they'll be saved. But those who do not believe my word, they will be condemned. And these signs, I'm at verse 17 now, will follow those who believe. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they will hold Satan captive. And I will say they will take up snakes. That is wrong interpretation. Serpent is a better interpretation, because serpent, then you know you are dealing with a devil. Snake, people have them as pets. So you're dealing with harmless folks. But you shall take over serpents. Then you know you are dealing with the real thing. And if somebody will harm you, it will not harm you, because God will protect you. Say if you drink deadly poison, it will not harm. That means that don't go to Wicks and then go and buy some poison to drink, because the Bible says so. If you are not strong, you will die. Physical death, amen. But if somebody sow poison in your life, whether real poison or spiritual poison or something, it will not harm you, because God is with you. And in my name, you shall lay your hands on the sick, verse 18 of Mark 16, and they shall be healed. That is spiritual authority. Without spiritual authority, you can't do any of these things. Are you following me? Two of you will, but I will take that. That is fine. Without spiritual authority, you will not achieve any of these things. But then the disciples understood him. So when Jesus Christ was raptured, according to verse 19 of Mark 16, and he went to the heavens, guess what? Verse 20, they said, and they went and did everything that Jesus had told them. And Jesus came to confirm his word. Not their ministry. He came to confirm his word with signs and miracles following them. So the words that he told them that they should do, when they went to do it, when they took the bold step to do it, he confirmed those words for them. And that is what we call exercising spiritual authority. And in case you want me to backtrack you a few weeks back, I remember we read Judges chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. 1 to 4, but I only read the first two verses for you. It said, these are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not previously had any battle experience. So to possess your land and to achieve God's purpose for your life, and to be able to have God's provision for your life, and to have God's power in your hand, you must learn to experience battle. Are you with me? You must learn to experience battle, because there are some of you who had not previously experienced no battle. You face problems, but you haven't experienced battle. The problems are there, but you did nothing about it. You just stared at it, and you went home and complained and blamed everybody apart from yourself. You criticize everybody. You point a finger at everybody, thinking you have done it. But reality, you haven't fought any battle. It says those who have not. Is that the verse? These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israel who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. Put verse 2 for me. You do so well. I love you. Put on verse 2. Now, since I said I love it, it's not happening. Now, so he did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not previously had any battle experience. So if you hadn't had any battle experience, God wanted to teach you warfare as a child of God, because these were young Christians, these were young people who then God has given them so much, the land that they should possess. God has given so much into their hands, and somehow they have no experience of warfare. Somehow you are made a big manager and you go and occupy that big seat, and then you realize that, oi, there's some devils in the room. There are some people who are jealous of your promotion. There are some people who are jealous of your fast salary. I went through this all my life. Some will not even pay my invoice when I was doing consultancy because they think it's too much money and it's not theirs. That's truth. Hallelujah. And I'm just saying that somehow, as God has put you in that situation, remember, there are some battles that you should, fight. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. So God wants everyone to have a battle experience. So where you are and the battles that you are facing, it's not for you to complain and moan and blame, but it's for you to win those battles in Jesus' name. You see, there are wars we must fight, giants we must conquer, and battles we must win to exercise this spiritual authority. Sadly enough, for many Christians, they would rather allow the enemy to become a giant, the Goliath before them, who keeps defying them, yet we are supposed to be the armies of the living God. And let's go back to our reading in 1 Samuel. And let me pick up a thing. It's a big chapter, but I'm not a big passage. I'm not going to read everything for you because I've already done a little over 20 minutes. Yeah. So let's move on from here. You see, what I like about Jesse is that Jesse discerned that a spiritual battle was going on when a lot of things were happening on the battlefield. Jesse discerned that the battle that the people of Israel were facing was more than a natural battle, but a spiritual battle. Because for 40 days, Jesse, the father of David, had not heard anything from the battlefront, what was going on. But he knew there was a battle going on. And sometimes it goes so quiet. When a battle is going on, it's as if your whole world has collapsed and you don't see your left, your right, you don't see the woods from the trees. Everything goes so quiet. It's as if no activity is happening, but something is happening. It's as if there's no breakthrough coming, but something is happening behind the scene. It's as if no movement happening because no news, no nothing. Everything is so quiet. Nothing, no representation coming through it. But then something is still happening. And what is happening behind the scene is a spiritual thing, but you have to join it. You understand that? When you're in a situation that you cannot hear no news, you go on for an interview, there's no news coming. And people just go for an interview and they wait for the result. What's wrong with you? There is a battle. There are other people who are competing for the job, but you said you were a Christian, you want it. Begin to join the battle. Begin to pray. Be relentless until the decision is made in your favor, because somebody needs to do the job. And if this woman can do it, why not you? Are you with me? You got to call into being that which is not as if they were. And you are a child of God. You got authority. As long as you've got a qualification, you got experience, you're going to for the interview, why sit down and wait for an answer? Even if it's in Africa, you don't have to worry because somebody will go and bribe them for the answer. And the only part that you have is to pray to get it away from the person who bribed it. Are you with me? Please, Africans, forgive me. I'm an African too. It happens in the Middle East as well, and I'm sure it happens in the Caribbean as well. No names mentioned. But what I'm trying to tell you guys is that corruption happens here too, right? People bribe people, even in this country. But I just want you to understand, guys, that somehow along the line, don't wait for things to happen. And Jesse was waiting. Then he discerned that, no, I'm not going to sit down for things to happen. He discerned that the battle was more spiritual than physical and needed an assurance from his sons and the captain of the army, who is Abner, that they were indeed fighting as warriors and not sitting down and hanging about and saying they were fighting. 40 days, you've gone to war and no news? Something must be going wrong. Let's read from verse 16. If you can step back one verse for me, if possible. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and every evening and took his stand. Repeat that after me. Took his stand. Took his stand. For 40 days. No, you don't have to repeat all those things. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Verse 17, now Jesse said to his son, remember, when he was taking his stand on the battlefield, Jesse was at home. Now Jesse said to his son, this NIV, in New King James Version, he says, then, two emphases there, but they are both important. Then he realized for 40 days, Goliath had been taking his stand. In the morning, he's taunting the people of Israel. In the evening, he's taunting the people of Israel. That means you wake up in the morning, your problem is staring you like a giant. In the evening, he's staring you like a giant. For 40 days, morning and evening, is staring you in the face. And you got to do something about it. And the thing that you got to do is that then you have to wake up. And now you have to introduce somebody into the battlefield who knows about spiritual warfare. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. So when do we start fighting spiritual battles? Now. Is that okay? We start fighting spiritual battles now. If you come to church and you are sleeping, you must wake up. I heard it that some people sleep in the church last week when I was listening to the message. So if you are sleeping, the battle is against you already. So you got to wake up. Because if you continue to sleep, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, a little slumber, a little sleep, and poverty will come over you like a thief. And the poverty is not only physical, financial poverty, sometimes spiritual poverty will come over you like a thief. That means rob you of any power and every power you've got. So wake up, my brothers, my sisters. So Jesse introduced somebody into it. Now, verse 17, you still there? Now Jesse said to his son, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheese to the commander of their unit. See how my brothers are and see how your brothers are. And bring back some assurance from them. Move on. Verse 19. Thank you. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. So there's an expectation that the sons of Israel, the Christians, the believers, are fighting the enemy. But he had to introduce somebody into it for a reason. You soon see. Then Jesse introduced his younger son into the battlefield because he realized the need for a true warrior as he sensed in the spirit that the enemy was having the upper hand. So one of the things that we have to become good spiritual warriors is to ask for the gift of discerning of spirit. Whatever is going on, you have to ask yourself, what's going on? Is it just physical? Just emotional? Is it spiritual? What is going on? Because I keep on telling, there are three ways that, three voices that speak to us. The voice of God speaks to us. The voice of your conscience speaks to you. And the voice of the enemy speaks to you. You have to decide which voice you are listening to. You see, God speaks through his word. Hebrews chapter 1. Said, in the many years, in many nations, in the time past, he spoke in many other ways and spoke through the prophet, but these days he speaks through Jesus Christ. So God is speaking to us through his word. So his word will have an answer for you. That's your strength. But then he also speaks to our conscience by the Holy Spirit. Something will be prompting you in your spirit that something is not going right. And you got to react to it. He's speaking to your conscience. So if you ignore those two, you know the loudest voice that will speak to you? The voice of the enemy. You decide which voice you are listening to. Jesse discerned in his spirit that he had to introduce something. So he said, go and bring back an assurance that they are actually fighting. He hasn't had anything. He could have, why would he go? There's a battle going on. And a younger son, possibly a teenager, go and find out and bring me an assurance that they are fighting. How will he know? We know how he will know. So verse 20, early in the morning, David left the flock with the shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Sometimes we shout and shout and shout, and actually we're not fighting. Do you understand that? Some of us, we shout a lot. We will cry. We'll make noise. We'll do whatever we do. We'll point fingers. We'll do all sorts of things. We'll complain. We'll go to everybody. We are shouting, but we're not fighting. Hello? I'm helping you. I'm training you in spiritual warfare because you got to be a warrior if you are in this church. You got to be a warrior. You got to take territories. You got to be in the position of domination. You got to be in the position of victory. Nothing, by no means, should harm you. In all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through Christ who loves us. We're more than conquerors. You think the word of God is lying? If you put it into practice, it works. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. I'm glad God is not a Baptist. Neither is he Pentecostal. Whatever he is, he's God. I love that. Before I digress, where am I now? Verse 22. David left. No. And Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. You see, facing each other. They were just drawing up lines. They should be fighting, but facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brother. Wow. He ran to the battle lines and greeted his brother. Verse 23, I need you to hear this. And as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. Can you repeat that? And David heard it. You see, they were in battle lines. They were kind of a very orderly. In their lines. We are lines Christians. We put our lines there. I believe in this. I believe in that. These are our lines. We can't go any further. I can only pray this much. Oh, Pastor Gideon says every true Christian in this church, you pray at least 1 hour every day and make sure you fast once a day or one day a week or something so that you become powerful, so that we can get revelation. Oh, I can't do that. I can only do 2 minutes. I can only do 3 minutes. I cannot fast. Some of you will come with revelation that is not good to fast. I don't know which doctrine we are preaching on. But I just want you to understand, my brothers and my sisters, we cannot draw our battle lines. Even Goliath knew better. When the battle lines were drawn, the Bible said he stepped out of his battle lines. So today, step out of your battle line. Step out of your battle line and said, I'm going to stand there. And when he came out, he shouted his usual defiance. He came out boldly. So as a believer, you got to step up your out of your battle lines and be bold and declare the name of your God. That is how you win battle. The issue is staring at you. Step out of your battle line and say, in Jesus' name, you will move. In Jesus' name, you will shift. In Jesus' name, you will go. In Jesus' name, I have the victory. In Jesus' name, I will triumph because I am more than a conqueror. Through Christ, who loves me. Is anybody here who believes that Christ loves him or her? If you believe, then you are more than a conqueror. In all these things, we are more than a conqueror. Jesse wants an assurance that these people are stepping out of their battle lines. How many minutes have I got? Not much. But then I hear, move back a few verses. It said, and David rose up early in the morning to go to the camp. Verse 20. He rose up early in the morning to go to the camp where the battle was taking place. His work was not the most important or priority for him, even though he was aware of his responsibilities. Leave those verses there for people to read. Early in the morning, David left the flock with the shepherd. He was given an instruction, but early in the morning, he woke up. He said, I am going to the battlefield. So early in the morning, are you waking up to go to the battlefield and do battle and pray in tongues and pray with understanding and pray with revelation? Are you getting up early enough to pray? Early in the morning, Jesus did the same thing in Mark chapter 1. Verse 35, early in the morning, as his custom was, he was getting up early to pray. So are you getting up early in the morning to go to the battlefield? Or you get up early in the morning and want to look for your travel card and look for whatever you're going to do? David had a real responsibility looking after sheep. He was not supposed to even lose one of them because that was their livelihood. That was their income. That was their insurance. That was their life insurance. That was their investment. So he had to keep them. But early in the morning, he rose up and made sure that he left the sheep with someone to take care of. So the priority for David was not his job, not his responsibilities, not his money. His priority was to go to the battlefield and carry on the assignment that has been given to him. And I'm asking you, what is your priority when you wake up in the morning? Please don't get me wrong. Yesterday evening, I drank 2 cups of tea, so I've done well. So I'm not against tea drinkers or coffee drinkers, as long as you don't drink it in this century. I digress. What I'm saying is that it's good to drink those things, but what is your priority when you wake up in the morning? Early in the morning, are you praying? You have issues. You have problems. If you haven't got them, they are on the way. In the battlefield, they are happening. And one day it will catch up with you. And if you are not ready, it will gazump you like anything, and you don't know what to do. I work out there in the high-capacity positions. And many people, when the problems come, they have no idea because they was not prepared for battle. But early in the morning, I was preparing myself for battle. I faced the same problem as they did, but I survived and I overcame. Why? Because early in the morning, I knew where the battle is. And I will pray. And I'll read my Bible. And I'll hear from my God. You see, Saul was the king of Israel, yet he gave up and allowed Goliath to taunt, go defy, and ridicule him and the people of God. Saul, the king of Israel, and his men were supposed to be fighting the Philistines, but in fact, they were not fighting any battles at all, but rather melting away and fled from the face of the giant who defied and threatened them. Verse 24, thank you, smart girl. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. In some translations, they fled Fled is meaning run in terror. Run as if somebody is chasing you. Or suddenly, you're terrified. Something make you scream. Something make you go crazy. You're running. You're terrified. Because the enemy is chasing you. And sometimes when you are terrified, you just make so many mistakes. Because you cannot think straight. That is what the enemy wants for you. But what I like about David is that while Saul and his men were supposed to be fighting, and they were not fighting and melting away, when they saw the giant defying them 40 days. Imagine, 40 days. He was doing the same thing, morning, evening, 40 days. How long will you allow your problems to stare at you? 40 days? You wake up with it, you go to bed with it. That was the strategy of the enemy. And some of us, when the enemy defies us and taunts us, we go to bed with the same problem, we wake up with the same problem. No solutions. Because we are not ready to enter the battlefield. The price is too much. Because we are keeping sheep. Our job is too important for us, so we don't want to leave it and go and do the errand that God has given to us. David ran, not to the outskirts of the problem, but to the very center of the issue at hand. And when he came, as verse 24 said, and step out of his battle line, that's Goliath, David heard him. You need to be at the heart of the battle to hear what the enemy is saying and what the issues are. Because sometimes the issue is not what you see, it's a little bit deeper. And therefore, you've got to be at the center of it so that you can know what is happening. Is that okay? Good. I really wanted to start a new series next week, but I want to stop here because it will be good that we continue next week. Is that okay? Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so excited about this thing, but don't miss next week. Whatever you do, don't miss it. We'll finish that. Jackie, sorry, you have to listen to it on the internet. Thank you. So what we, of course, then June 2 and I'm married. So what we say in there, and of course, I mean, your daughter, what's her name? Denise. So what we are saying here is that somehow along the line, you cannot allow the enemy to taunt you. You got to enter the battle lines. David could have gone just to the keeper of the supply and said, oh, my dad sent me that I should bring this cheese for the captain. My dad sent me that I should bring this loaf of bread to my brothers. So can you pass it on? But then he came, left it there and ran right to the battlefield. He broke protocol. He broke protocol because he wanted to see what is happening. He wanted to engage because he was introduced into the center of the battle to go and see how people are doing so that he can influence the situation. So you got to get into the center of the battle so that you can influence the situation and change it. I'm encouraging you, church. I'm not preaching theory to you or theology to you. I'm preaching what I have seen. I'm preaching what I've tasted. I'm preaching what I've experienced. That is what 1 John chapter 1 verse 3 tells us. That what we have seen, what we have tasted, what we have experienced, we also pass it on to you. I am more than a conqueror. And you should be more than a conqueror. Is that okay? We will continue this message next week. Then from there, we'll talk about, being a man of God. And from there, we'll talk about being a woman of God. Don't miss those series too. That'll be awesome. From there on, you'll be cutting some heads. Hallelujah.